2 Timothy 1:3-5, and 2 Timothy 3:14-15. I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers, night and day, longing to see you, even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus.
Thank you, Mark. First, I'd like to say what an excellent job you've done, Daniel. As you get up here with such confidence, it has to be because of your mother, right? It's quite fitting that I was asked to come up here and present a sermon on Mother's Day, for it was about a year ago that I presented a Father's Day sermon. So now you get to hear the other side of it. My father has such a profound influence on who I have become. All the years that I watched him and saw who he was, the strength and confidence that he had as a man. And as you're hearing this, you're like, I thought this was a Mother's Day sermon. It is. See, there are at least two ways that a mother can have influence on her children. A direct way and an indirect way. I think the direct way is pretty obvious, and we'll talk about that, but I first wanted to get into the indirect manner in which my mother had an influence on me. My father truly was, or is, a great man in my eyes. He has taught me who I am to be as a man. He was an elder in the church for a period of time. He was a firefighter, but it wasn't long before he was asked to be on the fire board. And Dad was not one to be outspoken at that point in his life. Later he was asked, hey, can you step into the chairman's position? He didn't expect any of this. Of course, all this led him up to be capable and to be an elder. It wasn't until the passing of my mother that I realized where his strength and fortitude came from. Working in construction for many years, I'm very observant. I look at things. I'm constantly watching, even if it's not my own trade. One thing I noticed working in the steel business, in that industry, we had a lot of a connection with the masonry industry. That particular trade. This is a chunk of concrete. And let me tell you a little bit about concrete. It's actually a mixture. And I'll just give you the simplified version here. But it's a mixture of cement and stone. And although it's very hard, it can become very brittle. I was working for a bed and breakfast at a certain point in time in my life, and they had a concrete pad that they needed to be removed. They actually had rented a jackhammer, and I'd gone out there, and I started to break away with a jackhammer this concrete pad. And about 18 inches of it, as I started to break it up, broke up and loosened very well. This was an easy job. Until I met this guy. This is rebar. If you're not familiar with construction of the masonry portion, the foundation, the walls, there is both concrete and steel. Both of them are very hard substances. Both of them are very, very strong. Once I got past that first 18 inches, the rest of it had a, it wasn't actually rebar, but it was a steel mesh. And the job became very much, much harder. So is my mother and my father. See, my father was a very strong, structured individual. But he had weaknesses. And I see my father as one who has this strong frame. But if it wasn't for my mother being a part that filled him, he didn't have the same strength. And when my mother passed, I saw it as plain as day. When do you ever look at a concrete wall or a pad and see this? You don't. When you looked at my father, you saw a very strong individual. But you didn't see my mother. See, she knew that that wasn't her part in the job to show that, oh, I'm his strength. I'm... Anyone who knew them would eventually find that out. But it wasn't in her sight to be out there in the forefront. Proverbs 12:4. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband. Today I'm going to talk about the wonderful and glorious job that you ladies have as a wife and as a mother. I'd like to talk a little bit about my mother's legacy. Now, for those who are the grammar police, and you look at that, it's like, oh, he made an error. He put the apostrophe in the wrong place. No, I didn't. I say my mother's legacy, I use mothers as in plural. As Mark had read 2 Timothy 1:5, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, that dwelled first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, I am persuaded is in you also. Timothy had, his father was Greek, his mother and his grandmother were Jewish. They were the profound influence in his life. The ones who taught him Scripture, the Old Testament Scripture. The ones who fortified him in his religious character with God. We don't know anything about his father. I can't really comment what his father did or did not do, but we do know that his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice played a profound role in his life. My grandmother wasn't Lois, it was Louise. Grandma Louise. This is my mother's mother. I've heard stories about how she was brought into the faith when the preacher came and sat down and studied with her. Very much like Timothy's father, we know nothing about. I don't know very much about my grandfather, except that he was an alcoholic. That's something that my grandmother had to deal with. The strength and the fortitude that she had to have to raise 5 boys and 1 daughter. You get to the 5 boys and you're probably sitting there wondering about that. Wow, that does take a lot of strength and fortitude. Just ask Melinda. But my mother taught me so much about my grandmother. And I knew my grandmother. She was a cake decorator. I guess that's where I get part of my passion. I enjoy that as well. My mother, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time because I could spend the whole day. As I mentioned, my father was an elder. That would make my mother an elder's wife. My mother was a Bible class teacher, and it is because of my mother that I am partially who I am. When I first came here, I was that single dad, going through some very rough times in my life. And I met a young lady who stepped into the role of motherhood from square one. I take a look at passages like Proverbs 31:10. An excellent wife, who can find her? She is far more precious than jewels. And I found a jewel. Not only did she step in and became mother to, at the time, a near teenager, but also a special needs child. As she stepped into the role, I could see the challenge, and it was a great challenge. She was very young at the time, still very young. She is doing an excellent job. A job that I, although made attempts to do, fathers were not meant to be mothers. But she didn't get there by herself. No doubt her character was based on the women in her past and her present. But she was raised to be who she is. The character that she possesses came from someone. Her mother, Lynn Fry, and her grandmother, Serena Kenny, had a profound role in that. And I now can add to my own store bank, if you would say, another mother. And I appreciate the influences. In Titus 2, 4, and 5, they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. But motherhood is not always based on blood and genetics. There have been many women in my life that have been influenced to me. In June of 2008, I lost my mother. She died at the age of 58. That is something that can definitely shake to one's core. It teaches you mortality. And to try to fill that void is so difficult. Now, I have inside me my mother. She left such an imprint in me. Many of the tastes that I like in movies and food, my mother left in me. But when that void is gone and you want to pick up the phone and call, and you can't. In the first couple weeks after, I actually picked up my phone, didn't dial a thing, but as crazy as it may sound, I talked to my mother. And there were several women that I'd looked up to and I tried to relate to. Then I found a woman, Colleen Buck, has been a mother figure to me, and how I appreciate her. You don't actually have to have, she has two children of her own, but you don't have to have children to be and fulfill that mother role. There are many who do not have, either do not have a mother, maybe they don't have a mother to respect. There are some here who either can't have children or haven't put themselves in a position to be able to do that. That doesn't mean you can't fulfill a role as such. But there is one more that comes to mind every day of my life. Every day I think and I see such admirable qualities of motherhood in her. Although she is a ways away of being a mother. She has a precious little sister who has special needs. And I see the mothering qualities in her. It is my job as a father to make sure that she can step into that role. As I said, it's not a father's job to be a mother. So I did the best, next best thing, is I found these other women so that she can have all the resources that she needs to be able to see the role that God has established for her someday. With all the work that I and all these others in her life will develop her into a precious gift for some young man who is worthy of that. I'd like to talk a little bit about a cultural misconception of motherhood. In our society, we have those who refer to, oh, she's just a mother. She's just a homemaker. The title of housewife and homemaker or mother has been degraded by many in our current feminist culture. The idea that, oh, you have to go off and go to college and get a degree and have a career. Well, those things are just fine. I commend any man or woman who sets out to do that. Those are admirable things. But to set that above being a wife and a mother, I think it's ridiculous. And don't think that I'm putting women off to be the homemaker and men can go off and as we have throughout all history, to fight the wars, to conquer kingdoms, to be the great and wonderful. No, no. I'll say these same things for the men. In fact, a year ago, I did. For men need to be in their homes helping the wife, the mother, in doing the tasks. Because this is our most important task. Many will look and see that, oh, to give special credence to the mother and the home was taking us back to the archaic society of the 50s. In the image of June Cleaver waiting at home. One of the reasons that abortion has been advocated is so that women can have the right to remove that burden of motherhood so that they can go after their careers, so they can be something greater and better. I don't see anything greater or better than being someone's mother. See, gender roles were first set forth by God. As we look in Genesis chapter 3, and although this does seem to come across as just a curse, I don't think that it is just a curse. In verse 16, he said to the woman, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. As you carry this through, as you understand the concept of the husband and the wife that had been established, sure, they didn't do things the way God would have had them do those things. They weren't supposed to take and eat of the tree. But they did. In Titus chapter 2, verse 5. Paul wrote, back up to verse 4, that they admonished the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. And in 1 Peter chapter 3, wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. When they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging of your hair, wearing of gold, putting on of fine apparel. Rather, let it be hidden, be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit that is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good, and are not afraid with any terror. These gender roles were not established by us men. They were not established by past cultures, but they were established by God, our Creator. And maybe someday when we are standing on the other side of that gate, We will see. We will understand the family pattern that God had established for us. But if right now we do not understand, let us just trust in God and obey what He has taught us. You see, with great power comes great responsibility. Yes, that was told to Spider-Man, but it applies so much to mothers. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy 2:15. In this passage, I think this is the passage to go to when we're talking about gender roles. As we look at this passage, we see instruction concerning the conduct in worship. And it says in verse 11, "Let a woman learn in silence with all submission. And I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. Nevertheless, she will be saved in childbearing if they continue in the faith, love, and holiness with self-control." She will be saved in childbearing. Now, through my studies, I read that this is more not just childbearing, but also child rearing. Mothers, I think you all know very well that once labor is done, it has just begun. And you have a baby in your arms. And the task is long, long but done. These are not my words. In fact, they're not even the words of that chauvinistic apostle, Paul. I say that in jest. But that's how many people view him. Oh, that's just a bunch of old men in antiquated times that wrote that. No, these are the words from God. I do not, and nor will I try, to sit there and pick apart and explain exactly what he means in these verses preceding. But I do want to focus on verse 15. She will be saved in childbearing. That is her role that has been set up by God. Some will look at this as being very demeaning. I would like to correct that thought. That thought process is all wrong on both sides, from men and women. I have heard the phrase, and I do not like it, barefoot and pregnant in the kitchen. That's meant to be demeaning. And as men, that is not what our concept of our wives, of our mothers, should be. That is a concept of controlling and putting her in her place. And by far, that is not what I would say a wife and mother is, and that is not what God advocated for a mother to be. And I think that many of you can agree that We can hold our own in the kitchen, by the way. And many men, in fact, when we go home, I do more than half of the cooking. I enjoy that. I help out with the housework. Yes, I run the vacuum cleaner. It's not a job we just throw on our spouse. But let's take a look at what that really means. If it doesn't mean what our society has molded that into, the Archie Bunker concepts, what does it mean? W.R. Wallace coined the famous phrase, "The hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world." As we take a look at the position, the job that's there, I'd like to go ahead and read a quote. I don't know anything about this book or about this author, but it was by N.K. Jemisin in The 100,000 Kingdoms in 2010. I think it brings out a reality if you actually take yourself to the perspective of a child. In a child's eyes, a mother is a goddess. She can be glorious or terrible, benevolent or filled with wrath, but she commands love either way. I am convinced that this is the greatest power in the universe. And if you think about the role that has been given, has been handed to mothers, as you take that child in its most moldable position in life, and you teach, and you love, you correct. By the time that child becomes a teenager or even an adult, those things have been established. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he becomes old, he will not depart from it. Do you realize the power that's been placed in your hands and what you can do with that? Now, I would like to address one more thing. Because if you have gotten from this sermon that I think women ought to be home and taking care of the children, they're not to be out there in the workforce, not out to be getting degrees, that is far from the truth. Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs 31. As a young single man, I knew this passage. In fact, this was the passage that I set forth to read over and over and over again, because this was what I was looking for. In Proverbs 31, starting in verse 10, "Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so that he will have no lack of gain. She does for him good, not evil, all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax, and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it, and from her profits she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She strengthens out her hand to the distaff, and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hands to the poor, and she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestries for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters will have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. As I read through this passage, I see a woman who is a homemaker. But I also see a farmer, a shepherd, a businesswoman, a manager, a realtor, a merchant, a seamstress, a judge, a mother. Profound how strong this woman is. No doubt educated. No doubt talented. No doubt having the ability to step into whatever role she needs to be. I've known many women in business, in industry, and they have done a wonderful job. I will say this for the women, and I will say this for the men. If you ever let a career get in the way of your duties as mother or father, then you have done your family an injustice. So where are you, women of virtue? Where are you, mothers who respect the Lord and the position that He has given to you? We appreciate you for answering the call that God has given to you and would like to say to you, thank you. I'll also offer the invitation at this point. This was not much of a gospel lesson, but the lesson is simple. If you are in need of Jesus Christ, if you are in need of the church, and the consolation that she can provide to you, we have an opportunity that you can come forward as we stand and sing.